Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to Brave New World programme. My name is John Harrison. Today we're going to be talking about that European centre of culture, art and sun. That is Italy. In particular, about how Russians relate to Italy from somebody who should know, an Italian living and working in Russia, professor of philosophy and writer Dr. Lucio Giuliadori, who's been teaching Italian and aesthetics in Russia for 8 years. Welcome to the programme, Lucio.
Hello, thank you.
First of all, let's dive in the deep end. Do Russians, in your opinion, understand Italians in general terms and vice versa?
Well, it's a big question. Let's say that in general, they've got quite an idealistic picture of it. Their judgment is biased because they look at it like a heaven, like a paradise, but in fact, it's not. That's why we escape from it, and they can't understand that. So many of them asked me why you came here, or even why you left.
Yeah,
because in their perception, it's something where that you can't leave at all. But the funny thing is, when some people say that they like Italy so much, but at the same time, sometimes they say that they have never been abroad, or Italy or anywhere else. So I just ask, how can you know it looks cool? How can you like it if you've never been there? You never tried.
Yeah.
But they still have this picture in their mind, sticked in their mind.
But where does that picture come from? Is this something to do with Russian culture or something? Where is this? I mean, I guess it's a stereotype, isn't it, really? But stereotypes usually have some sort of roots in something. Where does this particular stereotype about Italy come from for Russians?
There could be many reasons. One of those reasons maybe could be because during Soviet times, they couldn't listen to foreign songs, but somehow some of the Italian songs managed to come here. And, you know, they really like that. And as we all know, if something is forbidden, it becomes much more interesting.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they connected this song, this music, with Italy. And that music, that sound, that harmony, you know, it represented something, you know, something they really liked.
What, like
something, you know, some happiness, some, you know, some good vibes. And they associated this music to the country that they had in mind.
Mm.
And they couldn't go there. So that's why I think they idealized it even more.
Mm.
And then, you know, they liked the language. And, well, of course, there are many, many, many reasons, like, you know, food and, you know, all these kind of things that foreigners like as well in general. Yeah, maybe that could be the reason, because...
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I've got a little bit of experience in this, it comes to stereotypes. I've been researching this whole question about stereotypes, international stereotypes, and I realised that one kind of greenhouse for stereotypes is a lack of information. And I suppose during the Soviet Union, there just wasn't very much information.
Exactly.
And as you've just said, a lot of people talk about places as if they know what they're talking about, but they've never actually been there, and this really relates to Russians. But I suppose same thing relates to Italians as well.
Well, I think for them it's quite strong. It's stronger because, you know, the more that thing was far, and the more they idealize it.
Right.
That's
right.
The thing.
Right. It's very interesting. So in this situation where there is a kind of lack of understanding, nevertheless, we do communicate with each other. You know, Russians do communicate with Italy, Italians do communicate with Russians. And, you know, we have all sorts of cultural exchanges and things going on. What are the sort of the cultural figures that that Russians can relate to in Italy, Italian culture?
Well, the thing that strikes me is that nowadays they are still stuck in those figures, those singers like Toto Cutugno or Adriano Celentano, these guys from the 80s, which actually we loathe and they like it big times.
Why do you loathe them?
Because they think that's Italian music. When they say, oh, you're from Italy, I like Italian music, meaning those guys.
Right.
But that's a really tiny part of Italian music. And that's even the worst part, according to us. If you ask, not me specifically, but an Italian guy, if you ask what they think about Toto Cutugno and these guys, Albano, Ricchi e Poveri, but they like them so much and they still like them. And, you know, many times I try to say, but, you know, there's a lot more. You should listen to something else. still, after many years, they're still linked. So imagine how strong was that feeling during Soviet times, back to that time.
Yeah.
Because it still works somehow. And there's no way. A few years ago, I did a course at MPGU about Italian music. And I did a course about Franco Battiato, which is my favorite Italian singer, who's at the same time a singer and an erudite and a philosopher, let's say. Philosopher in a general meaning. And I struggled to open this new window to them. The window was quite wide. Was quite big because he is a great character. He's a big character. But anyway, some of them found it interesting. Some others struggled to get in touch with this kind of new ideas, with this kind of, you know, open world about, well, Battiato is a quite peculiar guy. But anyway, I tried. I did my best to introduce them something different, something more contemporary, something contemporary. Because these guys, they were singing when I was a kid, and you know, I have never listened to them in my whole life, and I found really, really funny when they say I like them.
Okay. Well, I suppose the same thing goes for cinema. You know, where I mean, Fellini is really big here, and I mean that's about it, though, isn't it? I mean, there's Fellini, and then what happens next?
So guess what? One of these guys, one of these singers, Celentano, is also an actor.
Yeah.
Like, he participated to some Italian movies, but very, very, we call it trash cinema. Imagine. Meaning it's a very simple cinema. And when I say that I don't like him as a singer, they say, well, but as an actor? Meaning, well, you should like him as an actor. And when they mention Italian cinema, they somehow relate to Celentano.
Yeah.
And it's a pity some of them don't know the big names of Italian cinema. They stick, you know.
So in general terms, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more after the break, but in general terms, judging by what you've been saying so far, it's almost like Russians want to believe in a kind of idealized heaven-type Italy that perhaps exists in the realms of mythology, of imagination, public imaginations, of a country that is beautiful and has a fantastic cultural history. But this image doesn't really not correspond to what Italy is really like at the moment. But let's carry on after a short break.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World program. Today I'm talking to Professor of Philosophy and writer Dr. Lucio Giuliadori, who's been teaching Italian and aesthetics in Russia, in Moscow, I believe, for 8 years.
This is my ninth, by the way.
This is your ninth. Well,
Congratulations
and welcome back, everybody.
Next year, it's my first decade, John.
Wow.
You're invited to the big party.
Okay, well, let me take my microphone along and maybe we'll invite our listeners as well.
Okay.
But I'd like to just move sideways a little bit now into painting and sculpture, because unlike many European countries, I think Italy's got this tremendous power as a country of visual arts and three-dimensional arts as well, from your history, of course, from your Greco-Roman, the Greco-Roman style that spread everywhere into architecture and everything. But when I think of Italy, I think of Rome and I think of the columns and everything. What about perceptions of Italian sculpture and art from this part of the world? How does that correspond to reality?
Of course, we've got the 70% of the area of the artistic heritage of the world in Italy. Can you imagine? If we talk about all the art in the world, in terms of architecture, painting, or anything, the 70% is in Italy. So, of course, you've been to Italy.
You mean
right?
The source material?
Cultures, monuments, paintings.
Which the artistic heritage of the whole world is drawn from.
Yeah.
So you're the kind of the cradle, you're the reservoir of all of these different tangential lines,
containing
the pressure pot. Yeah. Okay.
So of course, when you wander around in the cities, you are surrounded by it. You see them constantly. And we are used to it, so we don't even pay attention to it because we've grown with it. So if I walk through Rome, I don't pay attention anymore because I'm used to it. But I can understand foreigners when they go there. It's a kind of cultural shock for some of those. And so that thing helps to that perception they have, increases even more that idealistic perception they have. But as I always tell them, one thing is to go on holiday in Italy, and one thing is living there. It's two different completely different things. Because I agree that it's a beautiful country for holidays. You know, you can enjoy the sun, you can enjoy the sea, the food and the art and everything. But living there, it's another thing. We've got so many problems. And especially now, lots of people are not even moving, but escaping. If you consider, like, if I look at my friends...
What sort of problems are you talking about?
Or, like, the great part of my friends live abroad. You know, we're in different countries, but really, I've got many, many friends, close friends, like, they all live abroad, most of them. Well, you know, unemployment, corruption at all levels, and very bad politics. We had Berlusconi for 20 years, so you can understand what's the problem.
Yeah.
And there are people who still vote him.
Yeah.
So I think this is very eloquent.
Well, it's very sad. You're destroying
because everything has the other side of the coin, you know? Okay, beauty, art, and it. But then, if it only that would be the perfection. But perfection doesn't exist in this world. So of course, there should be something else.
Yeah.
There's always a dark side, but they don't get it. And imagine those guys who have never been there, who never traveled.
Yeah.
And they've got this image here and this idea.
Yeah, because most Europeans, absolutely. I mean, most Western Europeans at least know, you know, where the place is and how big Rome is, and they've been there for a day or two with their parents or something on holiday, you know.
Yeah, even Germans, if they don't remember Dutch, anything English, about it. They come even twice a year.
Yeah.
But some of Russians, they have never even been there.
Right.
Even
so
once.
It's like sort of paradise as long as you don't go there, sort of thing. I mean, in a nutshell.
Well, then it depends, you know.
On holiday, it's all right. On holiday.
On holiday, it's perfect.
It's
I invite you. You can come next year.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you've already upset me greatly, you know, because I was thinking of, you know, I escaped.
I like to accept people.
I was going to live
people.
In Italy for, like, you know, 5 years or something, but listening to you, I'm a bit...
I like doing that. I do it all the times.
Okay. How's your understanding of, I guess, both Russia and Russians changed over the almost nine years you've been living here, Lucio?
Well, of course, the picture is more detailed now compared to the past.
Yeah,
we share corruption. I can say that we've got this similarity. But yes, of course, now I can understand them better. I can relate to them better. I even can speak Russian.
Wow.
Now, yes.
Congratulations.
Thanks. After a decade. Yeah. When I arrived, I didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the language helped me as well. And yes.
I mean, a lot of people have told me that Italians and Russians have a lot in common.
Who told you? Russians?
No, actually, some French people.
They tell me all the times as well. Well, I don't know what we can have in common because, as I said before, they like Toto Cutugno. And I don't want to have anything in common with you if you like Toto Cutugno.
Now, you also teach Italian. How do you do that? I mean, is it easy to teach Italian in Russia to Russians?
You know, Italian is difficult. Sorry to upset you again.
Well, you've already destroyed my my concept about Italy already once. Seriously, there's not much you can do now else to destroy my future. Go on.
All right. So... As you know, Italian is in high demand here. It's very requested, and so many people want to learn Italian, whether because they travel to Italy quite often, or because they work with Italy, or just because they like it.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of enthusiasm at the beginning, and then, you know, step by step, when they approach the language, they realize it's not as easy as they thought.
It's not as easy as they thought.
No.
Right.
The grammar is very difficult, and there are many... But if you like it, you can...
Yeah,
you can learn. I'm not saying that it's an impossible, and it's not Chinese, of course. But it's you need to spend time. You need to work, and it's not like I can say they manage to learn it in the end. They manage to do it. Especially pronunciation is not difficult for them because the sounds are quite similar to Russian.
Really?
Well, yeah, more or less. Yes, we don't have the U sound, of course, but
so British people can't do it. British people use
Italian. Yeah, for British, it's much more difficult.
It's really difficult. Yeah, that's interesting. So Russians can do that and get their tongues around.
But you British, you've got another alphabet in terms of sounds.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't have it. So there are so many people who want to learn Italian here. And that's why I came, by the way, many years ago. I just sent, this is how I ended up in Russia. I don't know if I ever told you, like many years ago, I wanted to escape from Italy, as many. And I sent my CV to many places. I sent my CV to Istituto Italiano di Cultura in every capital of the Western world. And from Russia, they immediately called me and offered me a job. Not at them, but in another place. And then I stayed because here, as I said, there's a lot of work in terms of teaching Italian. Then I managed to teach something else as well, something I liked.
Right. Thank you very much for enlightening us, I think, on things in general. And definitely your angle on your take on Italy's really different from the idea that I had about your country. I'm a little bit disturbed by it, to be honest with you. But I hope, listeners, you're not too worried.
I'll offer you a pint.
Okay, right. Okay. Oh, we're good for our, welcome for our fish and chips. Really okay. High culture, you know.
Okay.
But so, anyway, thank you very much indeed for sparing some time with us today,
Dr.
Lucio Giuliodori. And I wish you every success and continue to stay in Russia as long as you're going to be living here.
Thank you.
An invitation to your 9th anniversary, whenever that's going to be.
Yeah. It's going to be next year.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye.